The reading from the New Testament is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to the end. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet not known, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, but making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. If you are able, please stand for the gospel. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
I'm delighted that we've got Chris here this morning, who's going to speak to us from God's word. So do come up, Chris, and I'll just pray for you before you begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris and for the word that you've put on his heart to share with us this morning. And just fill him afresh with your spirit right now, we pray, to speak your word with boldness and with love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Chris.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see so many people back in church this morning. And a warm welcome to those of you who are at home who can't join us today. This morning, we're going to be focusing on the reading from 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at what was going on at that time with the Corinthians and Paul. And we're also going to look at what lessons we can learn from it today. So excuse me for a moment, there's a problem with my mic. It is on. Yep, it's on. It's connected. Would you like me to use the lectern instead? Yeah? Okay. Is this mic working? Yes, great. Sorry about that. Technical problems often plague this world. And that's one of the things that Corinthians didn't have to deal with, I think. But they did have plenty of other things going on. And as I said a few moments ago, before the technical issue, we're going to look at how that can apply to us today and what we can learn from it. The Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth at the time, had fallen from the path that they should be on. They'd fallen into sin and a range of other problems. And as a result, a difficult relationship had developed between the church there and Paul and the wider church. But despite the fact that it was the Corinthians that had slipped from the path they should be on, it was Paul who decided that he would reach out in the spirit of reconciliation to restore the relationship. Paul is being an ambassador of Christ. Now, that is a term that Paul writes about in the previous chapter to the one we've heard today. It's a term he writes about in his letters to the Ephesian church. And Paul, in those letters, Paul makes clear, St. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, makes clear that all Christians are ambassadors of Christ. And I'm going to come back to this term today because I think it's really relevant to the passage that we've heard and the one that I'm focusing on. I'm now going to read you verses 11 to 13. And keep this in mind because we're going to come back to this passage too. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open your hearts also. As we heard, Paul also writes about his troubles and the distress he has been in and hardships and other things that he is facing. And the reason why that is relevant is because genuine Christian discipleship is not always going to be easy. There are hardships on the road. There are hardships on our road, on our walk with Christ. But God is with us as we go through those hardships. Paul is living the life as best he can, the way that Jesus taught his followers to live. And alongside giving us a description of the hardships that Paul is facing, he reminds us that our joy comes in Christ. Yes, we will face hard times. We may have sorrowful times, but our joy comes from our relationship with God. Even if we have nothing from this material world, we can celebrate the richness of our lives with God, and we can help others discover that richness too. A richness that is worth more than all of the wealth this earth has to offer. Open your hearts wide, Paul says. It's clear to me that Paul is walking very closely with Christ. And he is saying to the Corinthians, and he is saying to you, all of us here this morning, that Jesus loves you. And he longs for relationship with you. But the relationship between Corinth and the wider church through Paul had become fractured. And it was Paul who takes the first step. Paul had done nothing wrong. But he takes the first step. He doesn't think, I'm going to wait for you to open your hearts to me before I open mine to yours. And I wonder how many of us here this morning or tuning in online have had a falling out with somebody and they don't want to make the first move to reconcile that relationship because they don't think that they've done anything wrong. I certainly have found myself asking sometimes, why should I be the one to make the first move? It would be like I'm admitting that I was in the wrong, that the argument was somehow my fault or I'd been on the wrong side. I don't want to admit that I may have had a role to play in that argument or the falling out. And I certainly don't want to make myself that vulnerable when I've fallen out with somebody by allowing them to think that I may be admitting some wrongdoing. But Paul does it, even though he's done nothing wrong. He tells the church at Corinth that his heart and the hearts of the rest of the church are open wide to them. And I think that's a key message for us today. If we as Christians are to live up to the calling placed on all of us and be ambassadors of Christ to all of us, everybody around us, then I suggest we should also be seeking reconciliation with those we've fallen out with. And I suggest that we should be people of reconciliation and people of peace to others around us, to other conflicts in society. Bring God's peace into those situations that can sometimes surround us. In the society in Corinth, idol worship to gods was still common in society, and the Christians there were often doing what their non-Christian friends were doing, particularly at social gatherings where it was normal to worship a pagan god. I can only imagine why Christians would do that. Christians at that time would do that. I imagine it's because they didn't want to feel that they were sticking out and they were doing what everybody else was doing. But I think most people here today would recognize that this is quite a major problem with our walk with Christ, with our relationship with God. We shouldn't worship idols. We shouldn't worship other gods. And I wonder perhaps if the people of Corinth, the Christians at that time in that community, were perhaps a little embarrassed at the obviousness of their sin when it was pointed out to them. And perhaps that's why there was some reticence for them to come back on board. Perhaps they were a little embarrassed, or perhaps they were even ashamed. And I wonder if that can affect us too when we come to meet with God. Are we reticent to meet God in prayer? To truly meet God in prayer with our hearts wide open? Could we be reticent to truly open our hearts to God because of something that we've done or something we haven't done? Perhaps we've said something improper. Perhaps we've thought bad thoughts about somebody and are ashamed of this. Perhaps very privately ashamed of this. But you know that God has opened his heart to all of us. And he he is willing to enter into and wants to enter into a really deep relationship with us. But are we willing to overcome that sense of shame, to let God into our lives in a way that we're open with him about the bad things that we've thought or have done? Can we say to him, Lord, I messed it up yesterday. I messed up when I said something to that person. Or I messed up in the way that I let my thoughts drift from being wholesome to being the opposite. Are we today willing to surrender our earthly desires, our modern comforts, the things that we think are so important to our lives? Could we let them go and let God show us the way, the true way, his way? It's hard. And we saw this in Corinth. Some were reluctant to open their hearts to God because they had become yoked to the non-Christian culture around them. They may very well have also wanted to be a good Christian, but being yoked to something other than the one true God just doesn't work. It may feel like it does for a while. If you're seeking fame or money or loads of followers on social media, it may feel good for a while. But if you're yoked to that, if that has become your idol, then that thing is deceiving you. It's a trick. Paul says, stop being yoked to unwholesome things. And I think the way in which he words this is looking back to Deuteronomy 22, a little section from the Old Testament, where there's a command for people ploughing their fields not to yoke together an ox and a donkey. And for those of you who don't know what a yoke is, we do hear it in the Bible quite a lot, but it isn't a term we use really outside the church in modern life. A yoke is a wooden device, a heavy wooden device that in these times would connect two heavy cattle together, two oxen together, and they would plough the field. And I think why the Bible in Deuteronomy 22 says that you shouldn't yoke together an ox and a donkey is because it probably doesn't work. It's cruel to the donkey. The ox pulls the donkey astray. It's more powerful. But it doesn't just lead the donkey astray. The ox is so much stronger. It can be really cruel to the donkey. And it won't achieve the purpose for which they were yoked together in the first place, to plough that field. And I think that analogy can apply to us in a certain way. The things in this world that we can worship, it isn't a term that we would use often, but if we're that obsessed with something that God gets squeezed out, then perhaps I'd suggest we are worshiping it in a certain way. That thing may have become an idol in our lives. Things that are common to be idols in society today are money, success, fame, reputation. And the list goes on and on. It's different for each of us. We all face different risks and challenges. But I think in that illustration of the ox and the donkey, those things are the ox. Money is useful. To a certain extent, we need some money. We do need some money. We all like to be liked. We like to be known that we're successful in what we set out to do. But we are also very weak. And the pull of those things that surround us, that capture our imagination and hearts of this world that I've just mentioned, their pull is strong. We can get sucked in. We can get sucked in without realizing we've been sucked in, and it's become too important in our life. Those things can easily become priorities over everything else. Because it's easy for us to become unwittingly yoked to them. And that is when they become our idols and they gain too much power over us. And that's when Christ gets squeezed out of our lives. So Paul asks five questions to the members of the church in Corinth to help highlight this danger and help them realize that they have fallen into that trap. So imagine you're sitting in Corinth and you're hearing that letter read out to them for the first time. So you're sitting there and someone in charge of the Christian community there asks them these questions from Paul. What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And they think, well, none. What fellowship can light have with darkness? And the congregation shout back, none. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Now, Belial's another word for the devil in this context. The congregation shout back, none. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And the Christians there think, oh, that's a bit more tricky. That's a bit more nuanced. There is a difference. But it's a bit more nuanced. And then the final question. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And I wonder if you can imagine the embarrassment at that time when they realize that they have been very overtly worshipping idols, pagan idols. They must have surely realized that the right answer is that there isn't any. There can be no agreement. There is no agreement between God and idols. And perhaps they realized that they had fallen into the trap, and without realizing what they were doing, they were trying to fake an agreement between God in their minds and idols. And that's because they had become yoked to the culture around them, not to Christ. In the letters Paul wrote to them, they were being challenged and reminded of the need to be countercultural. They are being challenged to worship God and God alone. They have been challenged to be seen to be different from their unbelieving friends. And they are being challenged to follow the way God has made for them, which is different to the way that unbelievers follow. They are being reminded that they should be ambassadors of Christ as they live in the world around them. But they are not of the world around them. And this is the wonderful thing about Scripture. Although it was written a long time ago, written with a different audience in mind, it also applies to us today. Where do we sit with our culture? Where do we sit in being a disciple of Jesus? How are we different from the non-believers around us? How do people recognize that we're Christians from the way we talk, the way we behave and act? And how are we following the way that God has made for us? Are we letting God to work his miracles through us? Are we allowing the light of Christ to shine through us? Perhaps we're blocking the light of Christ from shining from us and through us by pretending that we don't need to worry about the earthly things that are important to us. Now, there is much that is good and godly in our culture, and we should be thankful for that. And I'm sure there's many good things in Corinthian culture too. But when we become so close to the dangers of our society, so close that we have become yoked to things other than Christ, as a people, as a community of believers, we lose our distinctiveness. And Paul here challenges the Corinthians and challenges us today, because he's saying, please understand that to be a disciple of Christ, we need to allow ourselves to be yoked to Christ and nothing else. For Christ, along with being fully divine, he was also human. So being yoked to Christ is not like being yoked to the temptations of the culture in which we live. He is holy, he is good, and he is love. In fact, he's the very definition of those things. He doesn't lead us against our will. He doesn't cause us harm. He uses the power of love and grace to support us during the hard times. He is patient and he is kind. He carries us when we can't cope on our own, and he helps us to stay on that proper path, the path to closer relationship and communion with God, the path to eternal life. If this is chiming with you this morning, then perhaps you don't know where to begin to better align yourselves with Christ. Perhaps you don't think you're worthy enough to consider yourself an ambassador of Christ. Well, none of us are worthy in our own right, in our own strength. But through Christ and with Christ, he equips us, he helps us, guides us, and picks us up when we falter. As Christ's ambassador to the Corinthians, Paul opened his heart to them. And God has opened his heart wide to you. He loves you. He longs for deeper relationship with you. He will equip you. He will help you, guide you, and support you. He will forgive you for the things that you have done wrong. He will empower you to let go of the earthly idols that are all around us. And he will help us to form a deeper, wonderful relationship with him, if we open our hearts to him. If you haven't yet thought of yourself as a Christian, or perhaps part of this talk has made you realize that you have become distant from God, perhaps you've focused on the trappings of this culture, on our culture, a little too much. Perhaps you just can't see yourself being an ambassador of Christ. Make no mistake, God calls his people to be ambassadors of Christ, and he is calling you to that role today. God is waiting for you. His heart is open to you. Just open your hearts wide to Christ, and Christ will equip you for the role as his ambassador, so that the light of Christ will shine through you to show others the way through the narrow gate into God's kingdom. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I give you my life now, afresh once more. Perhaps there are people tuning in or here today that wish to do that for the first time. So just echo that in your hearts. Lord, show me the next steps that I should take to align my life with your will. Show me how to be a true disciple of Christ. And show me how to be your ambassador in the world around me. If this morning my prayer is your prayer, then say with me, Amen.